ever feel like just a tiny, insignificant cog in this massive machine, lost in the chaos of it all? Wonder if you even matter.
Yeah.
I know I do sometimes. And then you send in these Bible verses about Jesus and get this self-esteem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it really got me thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't prepared for this kind of wisdom from, you know, these ancient texts.
It's amazing, though, isn't it? How these words from, like, millennia ago, they still resonate. They still hit home on something so fundamentally human, you know?
Right, and it's so relevant today. So today we're going deep, like diving deep into this whole idea of self-worth.
Well, I get
not in like a preachy way.
Oh, no.
But more like, imagine we're dusting off this old treasure map.
Okay.
And these verses are our guide. Our guide to uncovering a whole new perspective on something we all struggle with.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
I like that. A treasure map to self-discovery. I like that a lot.
Exactly.
Yep.
A treasure map to self-discovery. And who better to guide us through these ancient passages than you?
Well, I don't know about that, but.
So let's jump right in. A few of the verses you guys sent in, Luke, Matthew, they use this image of sparrows.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
The sparrows.
What's the deal with the sparrows?
It's really fascinating, actually, because the sparrow back then represented something so common, almost insignificant, easily forgotten, you know? Yet Jesus uses them to make this incredibly powerful point about God's care.
Like in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about God providing for the birds of the air. If God is paying attention to something as small as a sparrow,
right?
What does that say about how we're seen?
It completely flips the script on how we tend to think, doesn't it?
It does.
If something so seemingly insignificant has value, has worth in the eyes of God, then the worth that we have as individuals, well, it can't be earned.
Right.
It can't be achieved. Mm-hmm. It just is. It's inherent.
Inherent worth. Not something we have to prove.
Exactly.
It's like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's a radical idea, even today, that our worthiness, it's not tied to our accomplishments or our failures or what other people think. It's simply part of being created,
yeah,
loved by something far bigger than ourselves.
Okay, I'm getting chills already, and we're just getting started. Yeah. Because then we get to John chapter 15.
Yes.
And things get really interesting.
Okay.
Jesus, like, shifts gears big time.
Okay.
He goes from sparrows to calling us his friends and friend status. That feels like a huge promotion.
It's a complete transformation.
Yeah.
The relationship. It's no longer about a servant just doing tasks out of obligation. Hoping to please the master. Friend implies love, trust, belonging.
Belonging. It changes the whole dynamic.
It's absolute.
So instead of constantly striving to earn God's favor, it's more about like being connected, being a part of something bigger. But how does that tie back to self-esteem?
Imagine this. You're accepted, flaws and all, not for what you do, but for who you are at your core. How much more comfortable would you be in your own skin? That's the power of belonging. And that comfort, that's a cornerstone of genuine self-esteem.
It's like that moment when someone just gets you.
Yes.
You know, and you can finally breathe.
Right.
You can be yourself.
Precisely. And that sense of ease.
Yeah.
That freedom to just be authentically you, that's essential for healthy self-esteem.
Okay, so we've gone from sparrows, small but cared for, to friends, nice, loved and accepted just as we are. And now, at this, we get to Ephesians 2:9.
Okay.
And this verse, it's like it throws the doors wide open.
It does.
He describes us as God's handiwork.
Handiwork. Such a powerful word, isn't it?
It really is.
Not mass-produced. Not an afterthought. But thoughtfully, intentionally crafted.
Like each of us, a unique masterpiece.
Exactly.
Wow.
And just as like a skilled artist pours their heart and soul into their work, carefully considering every detail.
You know, I saw this documentary once about Michelangelo painting the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, extraordinary, isn't it?
The way he talked about bringing his vision to life, the dedication, year after year.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, that's how much care went into that masterpiece. And to think, if we're God's handiwork,
right,
that's the level of artistry we're talking about.
It's humbling, isn't it? To be seen as something so intentionally created. And, you know, this whole idea that we're each unique masterpieces, it's a powerful antidote.
Yeah.
To that comparison game we all play.
Oh, tell me about it.
We're constantly measuring ourselves against others, coming up short.
Social media doesn't exactly help with that, does it?
No, not at all. But Ephesians reminds us we're not supposed to be replicas. We're meant to be originals.
Ooh, I like that.
Our value doesn't come from fitting in. It comes from embracing those distinct qualities that make us us.
So good.
Yeah.
Which leads us to this incredible cluster of verses.
Yeah.
that honestly, when I was reading through them, they nearly took my breath away. Colossians 3.11, Romans 8.17, Galatians 3.26, 1 Peter 2.9. They all point to this incredible, almost unbelievable truth.
Yes.
That we are chosen. We are holy. We are dearly loved, just as we are.
It's radical, isn't it?
It is.
To consider that our worthiness isn't something we have to earn or prove, but a truth already woven into the fabric of our being.
But that's a lot to process.
It is.
I mean, how do we even begin to wrap our heads around that kind of unconditional love and acceptance?
It's a journey, not a destination. It's about letting go of the need to strive for love, to prove our worthiness, and instead simply rest in the knowledge that we are already enough.
You're right. It is a journey. And for so many of us, I mean, we've spent our whole lives, you know, trying to earn that love, that acceptance.
It's true.
So to even consider this idea that it's already ours, it's like stepping out of a confined space, you know, into this wide open air.
Yeah.
It's freeing, but maybe a little disorienting too.
It takes practice, definitely. Yeah. We're so used to striving to proving ourselves. But imagine the possibilities. If we truly believe that, at our core, we are already chosen, loved enough.
It could be life-changing.
Absolutely.
But, you know, all this talk about inherent worth, being God's handiwork, chosen, it makes me think about that last verse you included, John 8.32.
Okay.
It feels different somehow.
Mm.
It says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
We're not talking about sparrows here.
Right.
Or like, you know, friendship directly.
It's true.
Are we?
That's right. This verse, it invites us to consider something else, the power of truth. But here's the thing. It's all connected to everything we've been discussing.
How so?
Well, think about it. If we're struggling to embrace our inherent worth, to believe we're chosen, loved unconditionally, what's holding us back?
Hmm.
Often is because we're clinging to truths about ourselves that simply aren't true.
You mean like negative self-talk, those voices in our heads that tell us we're not good enough, smart enough, worthy enough?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Those voices, they're often echoes of past hurts, criticisms, maybe even like societal expectations we've internalized. But here's the liberating truth. We don't have to keep listening to them.
So powerful.
John 8.32 reminds us that the truth about who we really are, as God sees us, the truth has the power to break those chains.
So if we're trapped by those false truths, how do we escape? How do we even begin to identify those limiting beliefs and replace them with the truth about who we are?
It starts with awareness, paying attention to those negative thought patterns, noticing when we fall into the comparison trap or when fear and self-doubt start to creep in, and then just gently, you know, compassionately holding those thoughts up to the light of the verses we've explored today.
So like, okay, inner critic, I hear you saying I'm not good enough, but Ephesians tells me I'm God's handiwork. A masterpiece, so which is it going to be?
Exactly. And sometimes it takes time. It takes practice. But as we align ourselves with the truth of who we are, cherished, chosen, created with purpose, those old limiting beliefs, they begin to lose their grip.
This has been incredible. Really eye-opening. So if we were to distill all this down, what would you say are the most important takeaways for our listeners? What can they take with them from this deep dive?
I'd say first and foremost, remember your inherent worth. Not because of anything you've done or haven't done, but simply because you exist. You are a masterpiece crafted with intention and purpose.
And don't forget about that friend upgrade.
Absolutely. Embrace your identity as God's beloved child, chosen, cherished unconditionally. And finally, let that truth set you free. Challenge those limiting beliefs, those whispers that say, you're not enough. Replace them with the powerful truth of who you were created to be.
Wow. If we truly believe that, lived like we believed it, imagine how differently we'd treat ourselves, how we'd approach the world.
It's a beautiful thing to consider, isn't it?
It really is. Thanks for taking this deep dive with me. I know I'll be pondering these verses for a long time to come.
The pleasure was all mine. And to our listeners, as you go about your day today, remember, you are seen, you are loved, and you are enough, just as you are.
Mm-hmm.